Now, wait a minute.
We've got a big episode here. You know, obviously, every week we come here to celebrate our civic rights and our civic duties. But, you know, here's the thing. You've been propagandized. You are not too smart to fall for propaganda just because you listen to this show. You've been propagandized to think of voting as a hard duty, as an obligation, as your civic responsibility. It's kind of how it's marketed to the masses, but it's actually not true. Your ability to vote is a celebration of the things that you love. When you think about all of the people who did so much of American history, who go out to express their views years after the gunshots have died down, years after the marching has worn off, years after changes have been made, they're coming in place to celebrate what's already happened and to lay a groundwork for the future. We can do the same thing here. Our responsibilities, quote unquote, as a podcast, they're not just about keeping us on schedule. They're about celebrating the things that we love the most. Sometimes it's about groups of people, but sometimes it's, you know, in a really extraordinary time, there's one person. There's one person that can be the justice. There's one person that can symbolize. There's one person that can be the judge and the jury and the executioner. Kennedy, tell us about just any amazing person we could celebrate today.
Yeah, check your list.
We're talking, of course, about Ronald Reagan. a man capable of playing
Ronald Reagan.
So many roles in his life.
Mr. Gorbachev, bust down these walls. Bust them down right now.
Sorry, that's later in the episode. I jumbled the notes up. We're going to be talking about Carl Urban today in the voting booth. We've got an exciting episode. And I just want to say for the record, if you're a listener of this show, you're like me, all right? I am not immune to all propaganda, but I am immune to bad propaganda. That's right. Yeah. And if you're a listener of this show, you're immune to bad propaganda too, which is why you're tuning into good propaganda right now and getting ready to do, you know what? Vote, motherfuckers! It's the most important election of our lives!
This election, which will be, I do truly believe, the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election, don't you? You hear that?
This is the most important election in our lifetime.
I certainly think it's the most important election of my lifetime.
This is the most important election of our times.
Politicians say every time, oh, this is the most important election. This one's really that important.
Oh my goodness.
We are once again back for the most important election of our lives. Yeah. You know, I had to yell, even though Brandon did such a nice, placid intro, I had to find an excuse to yell. I only haven't yelled once, and that's because I was going to lose my voice week if I did. And I think, Brandon, you yelled a little for me that week. So, you know,
When I yell, it intimidates people, and it comes out in the edit. These are just some of the trials of being Black in America.
We are so excited today to have a wonderful guest here in the voting booth with us. But before I introduce her, I have to, of course, remind you who we are. I'm Kennedy Cooper. Y'all know me. We've got Brandon in the booth with us today. Of course, Brandon Buchanan.
Hey, what's good, everybody?
Brandon, who did our lovely intro today, got our in-house statistician, Andrew Fields, providing a thin air of academic legitimacy to the show.
Tim Urban? More Carl Urban? More like Tim Rural? I messed up my own joke. Whoops.
Thin air of legitimacy, but mostly puns by volume.
Rough. And so excited today to have in the voting booth with us a lovely, wonderful, hilarious guest, Corey from Jack of All Graves. Corey, we are so blessed to have you. Thank you.
Corey, in the house. Yeah.
Wow. You know what? What's really funny is that just by virtue of like being on the cusp of the age group that would have watched that era of Disney Channel, no one has ever actually made that reference to me before.
I thought was expecting you to roll your eyeballs with how often you heard that. Yes, I'm number one.
I'm like just slightly too old for that show, so I knew it existed, but no one has ever referenced it to me before. So you actually, no eye rolls here. Congratulations, you've done something new.
Incredible. Corey, thank you so much, like I said, for joining us. What made you want to talk with us about the works of one Mr. Carl Urban today?
When Garrick approached me about this, I was like, oh gosh, like it felt like a big responsibility. Like what is a thing to talk about if you could pick one thing to discuss? And, you know, she gave me like this list of other things that people had talked about and was like, here, look at some of these episodes, which by the way, this is the second podcast I've been on this week where I've gone to look at, like, oh, I'll listen to a couple episodes, get an idea of what I'm in for, and no two episodes are alike. So it's like, I know less about this podcast after having listened to a few of them.
The world of voting. No two elections are alike.
It's true.
Yeah. I think I know the least about this podcast, having planned every episode.
You know what? That's what Socrates says. A true podcaster knows that they know nothing about their podcast.
Amen. But I chose Carl because, you know, as I had kind of said while justifying this or pitching this, I feel like Carl Urban is kind of like low-key everyone's favorite actor. But they don't know it. Like, they wouldn't go, like, if you were like, who's my favorite actor? You'd be like, oh, I don't know, like Cillian Murphy or like something like that. But deep down, it's Carl Urban. You love everything you've seen him in.
I don't do my British accent often, but when it comes to Carl Urban, oi, ewy, I'll do my terrible
Let's be real. He doesn't do a British accent either.
So this didn't make our show program, but it's actually an interesting discussion, and I want to just bring it up right off the bat. Andrew, and this is a great opportunity for you to impress. Given your statistic and voting knowledge, what are some voting systems where Carl Urban is more likely to win, like, as most beloved actor? He has a high approval rate across all voters.
I mean, definitely ranked choice.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about, he's not very many people's number one, but he's their number two. Like, definitely give us a ranked choice, and he's winning every single actor of the year, actress of the year, news article of the year, like, screenplay of the year.
Yes.
I was going to say, that's actually so appropriate, because I was going to say, I think most people would have to put him in at least their top five, even if they didn't realize
it. Yeah, if we did ranked choice, he would get all the awards.
Right? And so that's a ranked choice. That's a ranked choice winner right there. Somebody who's in everybody's top five, you know, like Carl Urban didn't get that many number ones, but he got the most number twos and three votes of any candidate and swept.
We don't have to even do a segment on whether we think Carl Urban would be elected mayor of New York. You know, it's really mayor of New York would have to run for Carl Urban.
We have two mayors in New York right now, because I like the guy we think that's probably going to get elected. But can we have two mayors just and also Carl Urban?
Yeah, co-mayor Carl Urban.
Actually, I think New York should be like how the Roman Empire sometimes had like the dual emperors.
Ooh.
I think New York City is way too big to have one mayor. We need to have dual mayors of New York City.
Yeah, I'm thinking like in One Piece, there is that one kingdom where the day was ruled by one leader and the night was ruled by another leader.
Oh, Night Urban.
Ooh.
I'm into that.
Nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, Nightmare! Carl Urban sure is a nightmare.
First of all, this is $1 million entertainment property. Second of all, Kennedy, you come all the way back around to Megalopolis.
No.
Now you're like, actually, a triumvirate in charge of New York is a great idea. This is what this is exactly what Megalopolis is about.
But actually, if there was anything in that movie that took,
did you guys watch that? Was that an episode?
It was the triumvirate of New York.
We wanted something a little bit zany and weird before we did more traditional stuff.
Well, and nailed it.
Honestly, it's a good preview. You know, we did Not Safe for Wonks, and the first episode was the most popular episode by numbers. because as people watched the show, they would say, this is really interesting. Go back and watch the first episode. So we knew as we started this one that we wanted something that when if you can get through Megalopolis and John McCain, you can get through any kind of discussion.
It's just very convenient. You can't stream Megalopolis, you know, legally anymore.
Really?
They took it down after we did the podcast. Because we did that podcast, it was so powerful. They were like, oh, we're embarrassed. We got to take this passion project down.
I honestly think that it's a genius move for the production of that film. It's, you know, obviously going to be a cult something. So here, as digital overwhelms the world, it's a great move for a director to say, actually, my film is too good for ever being seen on anything. See you later.
He's just going to sell it to Martin Shkreli, and that'll be the end of it.
I just really think before he dies, he's got to record a commentary track. Please, you don't have much time left, Francis.
Or just have Ben Affleck do it. Fine with that too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And Kennedy, you know, with us doing just a lot of event planning and stuff like that, you never know. Maybe this is the format that this show will be soon. Maybe we'll just be in a movie theater and there will be like 20 people that watch this show, but nobody else knows.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're going to take it. We're going to take it off digital and it's going to be a purely live show in the future.
Before they go into the Disney vault forever.
Get these digital episodes while they last, suckers. Okay. Carl Urban, he has an incredible range as an actor. He is playing the nightmare in the upcoming HBO series.
I kind of love it. I'm obsessed with this idea.
I think more cities should have a nightmare. I'm actually, like, the more I think about this, the more I'm like, wait, I think above a certain size, you just have to have a nightmare now.
Like, it's a 24-hour job. You cannot be going to bed on New York City, right? Like, that's why Gotham has Batman or whatever. Like, what if instead we just had a guy who, like, sat in his office and was like, you guys need anything? That's Carl Urban.
Right. I totally hate in podcasts that there's always, when there's a fun conversation, there's some guy that says, and I just looked this up, but I'm going to be that guy today. It turns out that there are real nightmares, and it's something that, of course, the Dutch would do. And the nightmare, they...
Well, they did make New York City, so...
Oh!
Right.
Do the Dutch have longer nights than us?
Nights too, so you really can't just have nobody paying attention to things all night, right?
They have...
This is embarrassing. I've been...
Because they're way up at by the... Where the planet ends. We're a Flat Earth podcast, by the way.
They're nigh the heavens, don't you know?
there are a lot of late night services in that area of the world, and it just keeps it up, keeps it going. Obviously, this nightmare is in charge of the nightlife. And the Dutch have a lot more common sense than the Americans. They wouldn't call someone a czar. But a mayor seems appropriate for the level of authority that a person there would have. So,
fascinating.
We developed great civilizations like the Dutch and this podcast can both develop autonomously.
Americans would never be fucking brave enough to elect a lord of the nightlife, even though it's like, such a good idea.
Send me back to Las Vegas. Make me the nightmare. Send me back to my home of Las Vegas. They need a nightmare.
Obviously needs a nightmare. It's insane to even propose that
They could send Carl Urban to Vegas to be nightmare, but you could be the nightmare's partner that secretly does all the work. If you think of like Batman and Alfred... Like, you could be the nightmare.
Okay, so here's the thing. I don't know if I've talked about it in this podcast. Long story short, more than half of what we call Las Vegas isn't Las Vegas. It's an unincorporated city called Paradise. So I can imagine the mayor of the actual Las Vegas having an assistant that interferes with the Paradise stuff where the real Las Vegas is, where their legal authority is. Wow, this would make a great TV show.
Ooh, yeah.
This sounds exactly like five other things you've canceled. Give us money.
Carl Urban would kill in this show. He would just.
This is the show we've been waiting for. In it.
Yes, I would be Carl Urban's assistant. I would be Carl Urban's assistant actually doing stuff in what people think is Las Vegas, but the mayor of Las Vegas has no formal control over. 100%.
But you know who else would have been good at this, but like in a more real life sense? Back to Ronald Reagan, who I mentioned earlier. Ronald Reagan would be great at being a meddling nightmare in real life. He would have been a real piece of shit if you had set him onto a position like that.
Honestly, someone should go tag his like tombstone with meddling nightmare. I think you've pretty much summed it up right there.
Don't make him sound cooler. Please don't. In fact, I'm just as close to canceling you.
Touche.
And why can I not stop mentioning Ronald Reagan? Because the other thing we're going to be talking about today is politicians who have acted.
That's ooh. Right. Right. Ooh. Nice.
Ronald Reagan, famously one of the biggest names in politicians who have acted. He became president, which is kind of a big deal, I think. I don't know if it's as big of a deal as being a Hollywood actor, but it's pretty cool, I think. But he's not the only one. I think we tend to think of him the most, right? But there's also Arnold Schwarzenegger. He gets a little bit forgotten now. I was actually talking before the show about how I think, like, he sort of gets this weird quasi-pass, even though he was a terrible governor, just because he kind of bowed out of politics and apologized. But, like, if he had been able to become president, he would have been, like, one of the most atrocious presidents 1,000%. Imaginable. Like, it's actually, like, crazy.
I lived in California at that time, and I remember, like, one of the... I must have been like 18-ish, right? Around, I can't remember exactly when he was governor of California, but in that period of time, it was like when friends would have been like starting to vote and things like that. And this just shows you like, I don't know. I think maybe the youngsters are a little more savvy now than we were, where I think like at like, you know, millennials, we're like, oh, I don't know anything about politics, you know, when we were that age. Like, who cares? I just want to have fun. And so everyone thought it was...
Listen, I lived in Nevada when this happened, and we just were wondering, what the fuck did our crazy neighbors just do?
And so many people my age, I think, were just kind of like, haha, wouldn't it be funny, the governor? And then, like, it happened. And
like we were wondering what the fuck you were doing.
Yeah, I think there was definitely a degree of like people who did it for the lulz, and then we just ended up with that. So, you know, be careful about your ironic votes, my friends. You never know what's going to happen.
I will never get into office.
Right. Wouldn't that be hilarious? Oh no.
No.
I've got a couple more. These ones you probably are thinking of a bit less. Senator Patrick Joseph Leahy, who retired or died or something a couple years ago. I don't care.
Kennedy, soon I'm going to either retire or die from this podcast.
For a senator from Vermont, I 100% guarantee that he would have found that hilarious if he's still alive or not.
Depending on current state.
There's no possible way for us to know if he's still alive. Yeah. No way whatsoever. The air of the internet.
No.
No possible way for us to know, unfortunately. Because once you retire from politics, you know, the news just stops reporting on you. That's it. So this guy...
Dang.
Long serving senator, one of the third longest serving senator in U.S. history, 48 years in the Senate, served over a lot of interesting things in his time. He was the presiding officer at Donald Trump's second impeachment trial, definitely saw some interesting things in his time as a senator. He also saw some interesting things in his time as a senator that weren't related to politics when he was in 5 Batman movies.
They made Batman political and woke.
Hold on, five. That's that.
He was a huge Batman
that crosses
fan.
Directors. Like, who Whoa. Are we? Which
Batman fan? Batman this man. Movies. And so he was in. First of all, Batman Forever.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Back in the Tim Burton era of Batman films. So he had a small cameo as himself.
Is Batman Forever still Burton?
There's a different director.
Yeah, Batman Forever okay. is Burton, so,
but it's still,
he
but
wrote
it's
it.
Still technically, it's still technically
Bruckheimer still, directed it.
Yeah, okay. It's Shoemaker directed it, but Got Burton it. Was still.
Yeah, I was just like when I like you know I rewatched the first two
era
yearly at least, and I you know just kind of completely forgot about Batman Forever, even though it has an incredible soundtrack.
You've got to come back for a full Batman episode.
we've talked on Jack of All Graves quite a bit. My co-host Mark, actually, you want Mark to come talk Batman with you. He's got a Batman tramp stamp yeah. that he got when he was old enough to get a tattoo. Yeah. He's a huge fan, so we've ranked them on multiple occasions and whatnot. He watches yeah. The Batman, that most recent one, like monthly, and it's
yeah
a feat.
Batman has the best superpower of all.
Rich.
Lots of money.
Lot of moolah.
We have to move on. I mean, is there any other notes on he was in? You give the rest of these. Don't that you know, much like Tulsi Gabbard, if you mention Batman, it becomes a Batman episode.
We won't True. Stay on this too long, but I just want to quickly list this off because I think it's interesting. He was in the animated series as a voice, yeah. The Batman and Robin film as himself again. He was Wild. In The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises as a Wayne Enterprises board member.
He stands up to the Joker in The Dark Knight. He's the old man that says, we won't let criminals like you push us around. That's Patrick Leahy.
That's wild.
Yeah, he gets a quality civilian. He gets a civilian speaking role that's on the theme of the movie, right? Which is that all the civilians won't give in to madness. A great
true.
Speaking role for a U.S. senator that loves Batman.
It's too bad he either retired or died.
yeah. Right. Rest in peace or retirement or
yeah, whatever
you're
doing.
And then he was also in Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice as a fake senator. So I think that's kind of funny because a
I
lot
think
of these
Zack Snyder blows him up.
Oh wow.
I think he dies in Batman, but I'm not sure. But I think he dies in it.
Oh,
yeah.
So he didn't retire. Yeah. He did die.
Mystery solved.
Yeah. We have an answer.
What if that was actually how he wanted to die, and like he was just like, "Let's go, let's do this." I would like him to literally blow me up on the set of this. That's how I want to go out.
You know what? That sounds like the way you'd want to go.
Yeah.
Here's another one that you may have forgotten. Did you remember that Jerry Springer
yes.
was a mayor?
There's like a whole documentary recently on him. I can't remember what channel or service or whatever it was on, but it talked at length about that. That guy has like the weirdest career that you've ever heard of.
He did die.
Yes.
Yeah,
he
sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. He did
retired
both.
First,
yeah, he did both retire and die. He also had a quote wow. where he said something along the lines of like, you know, if there is such thing as a hell, like I'm basically screwed. There's no way I'm going anywhere else. Like, okay, buddy. Yep, wow.
Judge Jerry. but nobody remembers that show.
Show?
Jerry Springer. He was an actor and a mayor. So that we're counting him. And last but not least, did you know that a little fella, another senator from Vermont, funny enough, a man named Bernie Sanders has a bit of an
is that so?
Yeah, this guy do anything but get a job.
Yeah, he was in a 1999 rom-com.
So he was a house rep at that point.
Stop.
Low budget.
Yes.
Yeah, a low budget rom-com as a rabbi that marries some people in the movie.
Well, that's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
I saw a clip, and in this clip, we see Bernie Sanders. He starts the wedding thing, you know, we're now here for this lovely thing. And then he goes on a rant about how the Dodgers are no longer in New York and how baseball's not the way it used to be. And it sounds like,
amazing.
It almost sounds like a parody of Bernie Sanders, because it's exactly, it's the same way he rants about the 1%, except it's about all those Dodgers, they went to California, used to be able to buy a ticket in the last 10 years.
That's amazing. What's it called?
It's called My Ex-Girlfriend's Wedding Reception.
Wow. That sounds like a parody movie. I want to see this so bad. I'm adding it to my Letterboxd watch list right
First
now.
First of all, and I'm going to add it, I'm on Tract. I plug that I use Tract every once in a while. This name is, just like Bernie, so visionary, because it's really like a modern anime title. It's got that two-breath long lane, My Ex-Girlfriend's Wedding Reception.
Oh, and it's the letter X.
Oh, man.
It's not E-X, it's the letter X.
Girlfriend's Wedding Reception. Like,
wait, oh my God, you know who funded this? It must have been Elon Musk.
It would have been E-C-K-S.
He's even on the poster. This is incredible.
Yes. Yeah.
Also, I just want to say for the record, this film had a budget of $500,000 and did not achieve commercial success.
Oh, startling. With every single rating is like 1 star, 1.5 star, but Bernie in capital letters. So, you know, there's that. His name is Rabbi Manischewitz.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. It sounds like a winner
what
to me.
What in the J.K. Rowling's going on over there?
Yeah, I'm giving everybody's getting a pass to talk about this movie today. The token Jew. It's okay.
No, let's move on.
So, we're talking about color, politicians and acting. Obviously, we got to bring these things together somehow. So, I've got a series of queries for us. It's time to step into the voting booth and go through some interesting topics here. And I think we'll all leave more politically enlightened for it. I'm just kidding. We'll know less about politics after this. That's the way this show.
Remember, vote blue no matter who's what I believe in after the New York City election.
I want to kick this off with a couple of easy elections here. Could Carl Urban win an election versus Jerry Springer for mayor of Cincinnati?
Oh, man. Here's the thing. I don't know anything about Cincinnati. In my mind, obviously, Carl is the winner of mayor of everything.
Ohio.
I hear Ohio is hell. Is that accurate?
If it even exists. I mean, I want proof that Ohio is real.
Kennedy, I thought you once went to Ohio. Is that a fake news?
That was really, that's what, when I'm talking about the years that I spent in Ohio, I'm talking about my childhood trauma, okay?
Oh, okay.
You don't bring that up.
Yeah.
Okay. I went to a town in Ohio called Bowling Green, which does not sound like a real place. And all I really remember of it is drinking a lot of Long Islands and remembering nothing more.
Green Hill Zone, Montana from the Sonic movie sounds more real than Bowling Green, Ohio.
I don't have a good sense. What do you guys think? Does Carl win?
Like, Jerry Springer is kind of a boring, typical guy that just went with the show notes.
True.
To create a crazy show.
If you look at the history of the types of people that get elected in Ohio in general, Ohio loves sleazy, weird guys.
Ooh, I'm trying to think, like, now, I mean, I guess Butcher could be a little bit of a sleazy, weird guy, but maybe a little beyond what we're looking for. Or did you see The Loft? With Carl Urban in it?
It's really interesting. And yeah, I vaguely remember The Law. I was gonna say that we kind of agree that Butcher could get elected mayor of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So if Carl Urban just acts like Butcher for 3 months straight, then they'll just
elect everybody him. Elect me so we can be Homelander. I need to be mayor of this city. Oh,
yeah, yeah, exactly. If he just yells at people and says, you know, this is the only way to be Homelander or something, he gets drunk. Like, the worse he does, paradoxically, I think the better he does for Cincinnati.
Well, you know, this also, and I don't want to, you know, sidetrack, but this makes him a very good candidate to take over for whichever Ford is not dead and is currently a mayor in Canada. Rob Ford, you know, that guy who just like is like super red faced and belligerent. And that's like his entire political personality. And he just keeps getting elected.
Yeah.
Boy, Ewing, we got to take down Ford, all of them.
Like, I think that's where he shines is we go to any city where the personality of a politician is just belligerent and we put Carl Urban as Butcher into that city.
We feel like he could be red-faced and belligerent for enough time to be like a senator from Pennsylvania. So is the difference between that and Cincinnati so much? You just go in there, chug a couple of beers and say, whoa, man, the working man used to make steel trucks. Whoa, steel trucks.
Homelander, you're stealing all of your jobs, everybody. We got to stop Homelander to save your jobs.
All he's got to do is be as much of a train wreck as possible while not being actively racist. He'll have the full backing of the Democratic Party. The big city mayor election, he'll be fine.
There we go.
Actually, in Ohio, you can be a little racist.
Of course. We did say the Democratic Party.
And then afterwards, Butcher has his own talk show where he does crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's belligerence versus belligerence y'all want, how about Carl Urban versus Arnold Schwarzenegger for governor of California? Out-yell the governor.
I think California is firmly in the pocket of the governor, to be honest with you.
I think California electing Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor is a canon event.
Yes. Like, I mean, look at, you know, California's got Gavin Newsom now. We love a villain in California, you know, just like handsome villain.
Like, I will stick with the man in charge, Pritzker.
In California?
No, where I live in Illinois. My governor.
Gotcha.
You know what? Newsom, I mean, every governor should be Pritzker.
Gavin Newsom is so much like the evil owner of a basketball team or something.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he's every villainous, like, rich guy in every movie. It's like truly incredible. And I think that's California's vibe. I don't think Carl goes there. I think he's got hero vibes deep down. He's played some villains, but I don't think he captures that Hollywood villainy.
He's a Tessandre.
The specific villainy where, you know, California. And Kennedy, you know, we've talked about, because we talked to a lot of blue state Democrats, is like a royal family system. It's a very complex, like, you really want an actor that's less of an action movie protagonist and more of an anime protagonist to become a governor of California. They're going to have to deal with so much of a common man like Carl Urban.
Yep.
The state of California just isn't ready for that.
I've never seen Carl Urban with enough hair gel in.
Yes, I think that's it. Yeah, you never gel Carl's hair, and therefore he can never be governor of California.
We can revisit this after Mortal Kombat, because perhaps we'll see his shiny cape and say, oh, God, yeah, I guess he could be governor of California.
Really good call.
Have you ever considered getting a governor based off of how good they will be at governing? Have you ever considered like,
I'm from Georgia, so no.
No, actually, we know we don't do that in Illinois.
Live in New Jersey, absolutely.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is kind of an outlier. Okay, yeah, let's just do it based off the hair.
This is like literally, I think, like the biggest qualification for New Jersey is like who has embezzled in the most creative way, and that person becomes governor just by default.
Let's make it a sport: creative embezzling.
Right.
What about Carl Urban versus elder statesman Patrick Leahy for senator of Vermont? You know, would his aggressive yelling style work against a refined Democrat, a man known to hold the floor during contentious debates?
Vermont is like a whole different anime, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't watch or read any anime, so this is, sure.
All right, you should, okay, just an aside, you should read One Piece. It is very short, incredibly short. You'll be through with it quickly. You'll be through it. Just watch it. It's only over 1,000 episodes.
Trick me. I'm on the internet. One Piece.
Well, let's continue. Yeah, Vermont was traditionally a Republican state until it turned blue, and as we've mentioned in this podcast, this was turned blue by a little guy we'll be mentioning again a little later.
So you know what? Vermont is less like an anime and more like a PBS children's animated show from the late 90s.
Ooh.
You're not wrong.
Now I'm with you.
Yeah, okay. Lamb Chops play along it is. I gotcha.
Ooh, yeah. I can dig it.
But, Senator, I don't...
Yeah, it's just... Arthur takes place in Vermont.
Listen, I'm from New England originally, and I say Carl struggles. I'm thinking through, you know, his whole
yeah, New England times are just weird. New England times are weird.
I don't think we got a place for it, because most of New England is like hippies who are either like communist or super conservative, right? Like that's the two ends of the spectrum here. And then you got like your like Connecticut rich people or whatever.
My apologies to any New York Democrats. I don't mean you. You're not weird. It's all the other
New York isn't in New England.
New England, that's what I meant to say. No. All you New England Democrats, you, the voters at home, I don't mean you. I mean all the other New England Democrats.
New York Democrats
are all weird though.
You New England voters know how weird you are.
Yeah, and no, in fact, absolutely.
They demand that every politician acknowledge their individual weirdness, which is why Carl might struggle.
Collins is concerned, is deeply concerned.
Well, and we don't like, I think, you know, a Kiwi is too foreign for New England. You know, New Englanders don't really, New Englanders don't really go for those foreign types. Really, so I think the accent. Whew,
well, yeah, we people up over there. I just took it for granted that he'd be doing an American accent. Of course, we're going to be seeing if he does his real accent. There, we're going to be getting some just incredible varieties of white on white racism that are rarely seen on camera these days.
That's the thing about
innovation.
Yeah, when you go to New England, you got to realize that like the white on white racism is truly like next level. Like the jokes that I learned as a kid about white minorities were like, you know, that everyone has a repertoire of Polish jokes and things like that. So like whites are like not chill with each other over there.
No, yeah, you know how we joke about like how like the Breakfast Club is about how like white is this movie about like white minorities learning to get along. Like they actually need that movie in New England. Like for the rest of us, it's just like a cozy movie.
That's true, 100%.
But like they need that lesson still today.
1,000%.
What if Carl Urban is specifically running in character as Leonard McCoy? Does that give him any edge in Vermont?
You know, I think it does. I think you might be onto something. Just like very divorced guy. Absolutely.
Also always 100%. About, like quirky, quasi sciencey. You know.
Yep. I think he works. I think you found the loophole.
Is this loophole strong enough for him to beat Bernie Sanders?
Ooh, well, they both, you know, they both traffic in being like your everyman, right? Like both of them, the whole point is like, that's just some guy. You could have a beer with him kind of situation. And he is more quietly angry instead of like loudly angry, which I don't know, might speak to people. Or at least a lot of liberal white women who think Jewish men yelling is a microaggression.
How are these two going to differentiate themselves from each other? What is the Bernie versus McCoy debate like? What are they clashing about?
Probably just like father's rights or something.
I think that Bernie would win on some extremely local issue.
Right.
That we don't understand.
Ben and Jerry's. It's related to Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Yeah, there's something about the labeling on the syrup that there's like 50 guys that really know that the labeling style on the syrup is really what moves it.
Or like Nudity in Burlington or something, Brattleboro.
And Bernie knows this, but doesn't talk to us about it because we don't care. There's something like that, that he'll pull out of his hat.
Yeah,
here.
Carl Urban would just never pick up on the maple syrup subtleties. I actually agree there.
Maple syrup walks.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Critical demographic in Vermont. The fact that we went all the way down to maple syrup walks means that it was a good competition, though.
It doesn't matter who wins the election. As long as we have
fun. It's true. When you're really getting into the nitty gritty,
let's take this
you're
to the
something.
Highest office. To Carl Urban. The Ronald Reagan for President of the United States.
Yes.
Someone's got to.
Next question. No.
We keep sending celebrities back in time to beat this guy. Someone's got to pull it off.
I was about to say, is it 1980 or is it 2025 here?
I just for context, Reagan's the strongest in the 80s, well, and that's where we'd have to go back.
I'm going back in time. It's to beat Ronald Reagan.
It's so tricky though because go back in time. I feel like it's tricky though, because it's like one of those things where it's like, did Reagan cause the 80s or did the 80s cause Reagan? Or I guess the 70s for that matter, right? Because like obviously he's like a reaction to everything that occurred in the 70s and everyone being like, put it back in the bottle. There's too many rights and shit like that. So, you know.
You're basically saying Reagan's a canon event too.
Yes, right? Exactly. Like. It's a tough one to think of anyone like intervening because it's very much the combination of so many factors and rise of the Christian right. And,
there's something about the game of life where being a right wing actor grinds luck points or something.
Can just another actor intervene here? We're not really
right, you know? Exactly. But I don't know. I think that there's a degree to which the charm of Carl Urban might be able to break down the walls of the charm of Reagan in 1980. You know, I think, you know, he's white enough. He's charming enough.
Yeah, are we sending Carl back? We're sending Carl back with, like, honestly, if we're saying Reagan's going to be like, and another running thing we do here, Corey, is John Cena in Florida. You know, just some people are just very hard to beat. If we're saying that, does Carl Urban get knowledge from today to go back? Does he have, like, this guy
no,
turns
but
out,
they
I
make,
mean, we don't, he
does. They make versions of all, like, all of his movies retroactively get sent back, too. Okay, so they make the Lord of the Rings, they make the Lord of the Rings in the 50s, you know, they make Judge Dredd in the late 60s, super psychedelic.
Okay.
The boys in the 70s, the boys in the 70s.
Right. Yeah, he has a huge body for it.
So he's considered a way better actor than Reagan. Reagan was Carl Urban's biography, even if we were to take it back to the technology level of that time, is masterpieces.
Yeah.
This guy would be known by then as having made nothing but bangers in his entire life.
Right. And he's likable. Like, the thing about Ronald Reagan as part of the thing that gets him there is connections, right? So, like, think about the connections that, like, a cool guy like Carl Urban has, as opposed to, like, a huge villain like Reagan. Like, because if you've listened to Behind the Bastards on him and stuff like that, like, he was an asshole. Like, nobody, like, likes Ronald Reagan. He's just, like, a kind of person you needed to be close to.
No, infamous snitch and toady, like a Ted Cruz type. No one liked him at all.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. So, like, you get a Carl Urban who's got, like, a network of dudes behind him that are, like, you know, powerful and Hollywoody and all that kind of stuff, and his filmography.
Yeah, the fact that we're bringing Carl back with the and even a sanitized policy document out, like giving him any kind of coaching on how to talk about, you know, give him a little bit of modern wonk in a 5-page document. Okay. I think he'd be a formidable opponent for Reagan, especially since We've already taken it for granted. We've already put them past the primaries. So, you know, there's a bunch
we have a chance.
Of old people that we've just jumped him over the line of. So now that it's just him and Reagan and it's nerf or nothing, I think he's got a good shot. But we didn't say realistically, it's no guarantee.
I like it. I like our odds.
Change the battlefield, because maybe this will help us to decide how we feel about Urban versus Reagan to some extent. What if Carl Urban was to play Burt Rainey, the district attorney in Storm Warning, one of Ronald Reagan's most prominent and important roles during his career? This is a highly political starring role. It is a role with gravitas. It is a movie that addresses very sensitive themes very poorly. but nonetheless, it is a movie that addresses sensitive themes, you know?
Ronald Reagan. Need to be redundant.
I love that I opened up the IMDb for this, and IMDb now has that thing where it just automatically starts whatever's at the top of it, and it was just like immediate KKK. I was like, oh, yep. Hello. Ooh, when you said it addresses some shit, it sure does.
Yeah, very poorly. I want to get that out of the way in case anyone decides to watch Storm Warning. I am not endorsing this movie at all.
Ginger Rogers, Ronald Reagan, and Doris Day in a movie about Klansmen. That's an interesting lineup.
Yeah.
Are there even... There's no black people in it. This is the whole cast list. This is a movie about the KKK, and there's no black people in it.
Yeah, I think that,
incredible.
The committees all got together and decided to call in sick for that one.
You know what? I'm starting to think there's something problematic about this.
How's the hair care in Ronald Reagan Morning? How are they doing? You see any split ends on screen?
This is, can I also just describe the poster at the moment too, that there's, the poster has like at the bottom, like the KKK standing in front of a burning cross, and then above it, like a sort of, I think it's a romantic scene of a man who's about to kiss a woman, although she doesn't look super into it. What a confusing, like, I would have no idea what I'm getting into with this film. Is it a romantic KKK movie? What is this?
Yes. So
incredible.
Carl Urban's got to take on this role of incredible.
What is Ronald Reagan's role in this film? Is he a Klansman? Is he a where does he stand?
Yeah, where we ask questions about, is this a romantic KKK comedy?
This movie is relatively anti-KKK, but it's like you know how like there was a lot of media that was supposed to be anti-Nazi but kind of made the Nazis look cooler than they were,
like, right,
like,
yep.
This movie is like that. It's like it's supposed to be anti-KKK, but it kind of makes the KKK seem like interesting and powerful and all these things that, like, in real life, it's generally a lot more pathetic than this. No.
Right. Like, Superman got it. Like, when they did the, like, Superman radio show. And it's just like, these guys are a bunch of doofus assholes who are bullies because they got nothing else going on in their lives. Like, that's really the KKK. They're not cool and powerful and this, like, neat little network of whatever. They're just a bunch of cosplayers, you know, but not, like, the cool kind.
Cosplayers would destroy them with their materia, just not a contest.
It's kind of like a crazy, weird drama that was supposed to be kind of anti-KKK, like I say, but it's like, don't talk about where the KKK comes from or what it actually stands for, really. Like, they don't really address any of that. It's just like the KKK is just like this nebulous, powerful bad guy in the movie, basically. It's just been like total, it's just a total shit show of a movie.
So we're saying Carl
performances were, like, the dramatic performances were considered really good and still are to some extent. And this was like a role that, you know, so like regardless of like the overall like direction of the film and stuff, like this is a film that is like, it's regarded as like cinematically interesting as have like,
I mean, the cinematography looks
like,
cool
as having good acting and stuff like that. And so
you look cool.
Oh, you got me.
You know, there's a lot. We really got sidetracked talking about how crazy this movie is. But this was a movie that really helped solidify Ronald Reagan as an important actor, because this was like a major
interesting
role in this drama that was.
Yeah, it's not like the monkey movie or whatever that we all think of him
right. And
from
so this
the
drama,
Bobo
right,
or whatever.
This very serious drama, regardless of how fucked up it was considered something, you know?
Yeah. So if we slide Carl in there.
Carl Urban take on this incredibly tense role of Burt Rainey, the district attorney in this movie.
Well, then it's like Reagan's cooked.
Hey, you're all a bunch of cunts. You're a bunch of losers. Losing cunts. Like, I can't believe
you. We gotta take down the KKK.
Shut off. Just sod off, every one of you. Why would anybody want to be here? You're not cool. 5-minute movie.
Bam. Carl solves racism in 1950.
I feel like he would just crush this role.
Yeah, I'm in 100%. I think we... Yeah, he ends the KKK in a single film.
Furthermore, yeah, he would ad-lib lines that would make this movie better... like historically, like we would regard it better historically because of the lines he ad-libbed into it.
Yeah,
and remember that the patrons get exclusive access to our 6-hour storm warning review and retrospective offer available exclusively on Patreon. Thank you.
Like, comment, and subscribe.
I'm in. Let's do this.
This is only kind of related, but before we move on, I just want to say one of Ronald Reagan's earliest films in his filmography is the movie They Won't Forget, and he was uncredited. They forgot him, and they won't forget.
Beautiful. Chef's kiss.
What about Carl Urban playing the Terminator? He rocked that harder than Arnold Schwarzenegger did. It's one of Arnold's most iconic roles.
I don't see it.
Regardless of how you feel about him as a politician, he did kill it as an actor, as the Terminator, in my opinion.
I don't think, I'd be like, can we send Carl Urban back to play?
Yeah, I don't think you can change the Terminator.
We could send Carl Urban back to play Rocky Balboa, but it wouldn't
T-1000
be like, of course, from a technical perspective, he can do all the stuff, but it wouldn't be the same. Someone else would play. We've had enough human jobs lost. We don't.
Yeah.
So
we don't need to repeat the lessons of Terminator.
Yeah, there are some roles where the voice is just as important as everything else about it, and I feel like the Terminator is one of those. His, you know, inexplicable for what he is, Austrian accent in it, which is one of the characteristics of like Schwarzenegger movies in general. Just like, is there a reason he has that accent? No, we accept it. That's fine. I think that this one is built off that. Like, if you take that away from that movie, somehow you've lost something important from it. A Kiwi Terminator, or even a Carl Urban doing an American accent Terminator, simply is not the Terminator.
Or even Carl Urban doing an Austrian accent. That's still not good
Austrian
enough.
Accent, which I would like to hear. Right. He is actually, his family is German. That's why his actual name is Karl Heinz Urban. So maybe he could pull
Kiwi
it off.
Kiwi Terminator sounds absolutely thrilling, though. That's gonna do some amazing things for the timeline. Boy,
I'll be back.
Yeah, I'll be back, mate.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I will not come with you because I want to die.
I think it would be more hasta la vista.
Oh, that's great.
That like literally sounded like what is it, Murray from Flight of the Conchords? Which I would watch that version of Terminator with Rhys Darby. I've changed my mind. There's another accent that'll work.
Rhys Darby is Terminator.
It'd be my new favorite movie.
I'm what's called a T-1000. It's pretty impressive. Could Carl Urban play a better senator in Batman than Patrick Leahy? Now, ooh, keep in mind, Patrick Leahy is an incredible Batman fan.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, he's auditioning, you know, they're in the audition room.
It's so sad to imagine Leahy working really hard and Carl Urban just walking in and getting it.
Yeah. Just stealing his role. I think Carl Urban is such a good guy that he would see Leahy's fandom and he would abdicate the role for him because, you know, he's a fanboy himself. That's how he ended up being Judge Dredd, was having, you know, 30 years of 2000 AD fanboying behind him. So I think he would respect the game and give that role to Leahy.
And then he would either retire or die.
Exactly.
The greatest 1 minute short film maybe of all time right now.
So Hollywood should be listening to this.
Yeah, Patrick Leahy, if you're still alive, let's get the cameras rolling, buddy. Like Carl Urban guest hosts Jerry Springer show better than Jerry Springer.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, you cunt! You're the real father.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes you have a host of a show or a game show host, and a lot of the times they say, "Oh, we want the original guy to come back as soon as possible." I think that Carl Urban would be one of those guest hosts where the people would be like, you know,
yeah, keep him.
Carl Urban as hosting the show is at least a breath of fresh air, and maybe we need to start going in. The fans of Springer would, for how, let's say he's doing it for 2 weeks. Those 2 weeks are like back when they had guest hosts for the Tonight Show, and just everybody watched. It'd just be a television event.
That's like last night. Diego Luna was host, or for the past week, he's hosting Kimmel. And it's like, oh, yeah. I would watch Kimmel if this was what it was. I agree with you.
Yeah, they should not have done that at all. That is like, they have ruined.
So delightful.
You know what? Career.
Like, they're like, oh, let's just get one of the most handsome, deeply likable men in acting right now to be the like, you're supposed to pick somebody like fucking Glinner, you know? Like, pick somebody
charisma
that everyone fucking hates. And be like, that's my guest host for a week.
You know what? I just realized I have a career opportunity. I should be guest host on all these random shows. Just sign up for guest hosts. So people are like, oh, thank God that guy's gone.
Andrew, you're like,
pick Kevin Spacey. Be like, yeah, we're bringing Kevin Spacey back from the dead to guest host my show for a couple weeks, and then you come back everywhere.
Right.
Oh, thank God, Kevin Spacey's gone. Jimmy Kimmel's back. We love this man. But Diego Luna, you're fucking
truth.
You've lost
absolute
it.
Andrew, I like to think of you as like being a guest host of the show whenever you come in with a bit.
Like, shut up, somebody else talk. You know what? As long as I have a purpose in this life, it doesn't care if the purpose is me dog shit. At least I have a purpose.
All right. I've got the problematic question.
Ooh,
now.
Okay.
Oh.
Carl Urban beat out Bernie Sanders for the role of Jewish rabbi in my ex-girlfriend's wedding.
And this is why I asked for the pass, folks. This is why I had Kennedy give us all a pass.
Keep in mind, Carl Urban does have to still be called Rabbi Manny Shevitz. and do some of these same bits.
Oh no. I feel like I am not authorized to make that decision.
No, Kennedy gave you. Kennedy, right,
the
this is why I
this
make
is the
Kennedy
pass.
Give
I
us
forget.
The pass.
Boy, I could see the Dodgers rant for sure coming out of Carl Urban.
First of all, isn't it so funny to imagine Bernie Sanders is doing like a real rant about the rich while he's on you know, he's on set or something. Then Carl Urban like walks, starts doing hand just gestures, doing the- starts mirroring him behind Bernie turns Carl. Carl's like, huh? What's going on? Bernie turns back around.
Oh no. Sorry for your editing, Garrick.
For the record, this movie is about a Jewish Irish wedding. Does that change anything?
And actually, you know what? That does change things because then it's just even like more perfect to have some guy who is neither of those things go up and play the rabbi in this situation. So you know what? I'm saying a maybe. I'm gonna give it a maybe.
The day develops. Bernie's hearing the producers are leaning towards Carl Urban. He's infuriated. He's actually is this character. They wrote this character specifically so he could have an acting role.
Sorry.
This is another case where the 1% of top actors are taking away from the 99%. Bernie starts talking to the union catering. He starts talking to the electricians. He starts talking to the set. He's really fired up. But honestly, the producers are looking more and more. And Carl is, of course, he's just mirroring Bernie still. He's getting more and more into the role. He starts saying, look, the producers are like, instead of talking about Bernie's talking about losing his job, can you talk about the Dodgers instead? And
okay. So I gave a little false information. You can cancel me. Not Irish, Italian Jewish.
Now we've got to do the math all over again.
Yeah, you can cancel me. Cancel me for getting out.
Never mind. Bernie's back.
Amazing.
Bernie's back.
It's a tough call.
Kennedy, you have to explain it.
Don't make me explain it.
Yeah, just because the whole Protestant Catholic balance of the marriage has now been adjusted. This is much like Kennedy when there was a day earlier this week off air when I was just like, all this geopolitical conflict, it's all about Latinas. And I just didn't want to explain further. And then you're like, actually, there is documentation. There's a meme on Twitter. That's Scholastic source. And it all made sense. This Irish.
I mean, if we're talking about Latinas, then Shadow the Hedgehog.
Yeah, of course.
I will not elaborate.
Of course. And Shadow the Hedgehog is about modern geopolitics. It all adds up. Research is in your own time.
All right.
Yes. But this Italian versus Irish.
The Eclipse Canon.
This Italian versus Irish thing. Yeah. It's a totally different
matter.
You've got to do your own research as well.
Right. Kennedy, why don't you ask us a question?
Italians are not going to accept Carl Urban as readily as the Irish, and I don't want to talk about it any further.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to flip the script once again. Could Arnold Schwarzenegger play Leonard Bones McCoy?
Only for the length of a Saturday Night Live.
Good call.
No way.
But it is hilarious to think about.
a great MacGruber, a great Saturday Night Live skit.
You gotta do it for a whole movie.
Commercials, but a movie you're not just be like, come on.
Yeah. Nobody's accusing Arnold Schwarzenegger of range, that's for sure. Just don't think that is quite in his purview. Also, I'm just imagining him just being too big for the uniforms, for the ship, for everything. Just this clunky ass guy bouncing around.
Yeah.
What if he plays the role of the ship? What if he plays
the role of the ship? Now we're on to something. Arnold Schwarzenegger categorically does not fit in sick bay. That's what I'm saying. Too big.
Welcome
too big.
It's
just too big.
Victory is too big.
Johnny Cage. Could Arnold Schwarzenegger be Johnny Cage?
Too big to succeed.
Too big to succeed, yes.
I love it too big. You know, people talk a lot about too big to fail, but what about too big and failing? Because that's where we're at right now.
He doesn't have Johnny's, you know, snark-based humor. Johnny's humor style is that of a guy who clearly is, like, had to learn how to fight.
Right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's humor style is not exactly like that.
No.
He would do a Bernie style sit.
Yeah.
Sanders Styles rant. Sanders Styles rant.
Again, would watch it. Absolutely.
Yes.
Could he? Probably not. Would I watch? No, yes.
What about, could Bernie Sanders play Eomer from Lord of the
given,
Rings?
Yeah, Bernie, given the right supporting cast, we gave Bernie a cast of charming actors that knew they were doing a Lord of the Rings adaptation, and that their ultimate goal was to help Bernie.
Yeah, when
Bernie
he shows up with the writers, yeah.
Then, yes, then Bernie could do that role.
I'm into it.
You know, I'm gonna say I don't ask for a lot in terms of you know, things in exchange for anti-Semitism, especially with the current way that these kinds of discussions go. But I think we need an all-Jewish Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
All loud Jews.
Yeah, I'm for it.
Lord of the
I'm
Rings.
I'm for that.
Let's somebody make this happen, okay?
Whenever you get, like, fantasy stuff, it's like everything Jew-coded is always, like, the worst element of everything. Like, oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. That's supposed to be the fantasy Jew, isn't it? So let's just take the whole thing. Make them all Jewish.
Right. Also, in these fantasy worlds, everyone is, like, quiet and, like, reserved. And, you know, like, let's turn that. No, let's have a fantasy world where, like, when the Fellowship is, like, debating about whether or not they're going to go on, they're not just like, and you have my axe all solemn. They're like, what do you mean we're going to Mordor?
This would be the change you want to see in the world.
We're gonna be walking for months.
Yes.
who would you cast as Frodo for this?
It's a really good question.
I mean, you've got lots of options.
Yeah.
You've got
Rogan, Seth Rogen,
Goldblum.
Elijah Wood,
Jeff Goldblum. just everyone is just way too old. It's like Wet Hot American Summer when they came back and everyone was just like 45. I love it.
Yeah, that's great.
Adam Sandler as Sauron.
But you're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm way out of line, but I'm completely right, yeah. So it's fine. Okay, what about, could Bernie Sanders play Judge Dredd?
Well, here, Bernie is like, I don't know, I don't think that he could, the whole premise is so against everything that he believes in, which obviously it's satire, but I think he'd have a hard time just even pretending it. He would be like going inside rants about like how, like, you know, no man should be judge, jury, and executioner and things, and they'd have to cut around it. I think it wouldn't work.
Okay, but counterpoint. I'm once again going after the 1%.
Yeah. I think that the Bernie honestly is too much of a lib to even play the character as a
fascist,
a leftist executioner. Yeah, he wouldn't do that. And you try to imagine Bernie with you know the little 9-year-old kids and him just doing Judge Dredd even to scare them, you know, for Halloween. I just don't think his whole heart would be in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Don't think he has it in him.
Bernie Sanders is capable of scaring kids at Halloween just in general, now that you mention it.
I don't care about the 1%. I just want some candy.
Nope, I agree.
I don't think you could do it. what about, could Ronald Reagan play Doom Guy?
Doom Guy. Could it? Oh, you know? Okay. I think there's something there, actually.
You know why? You know why he can't? Because, you know, we talked about Bernie having a supporting cast of actors that would just carry him through the movie and let his performance the best of it. Only a leftist could get away with that. If Ronald Reagan would ruin Doom.
That's a good point.
He wouldn't let them do it with him as Doom guy and then make it good. Like, you're imagining, like,
he'd be like, we gotta make it more religious.
Well, and the whole twist of the whole thing, yeah,
he'd suck. He'd make it suck just from doing it.
That's a very good point. I will say that this is probably Carl Urban's worst American accent is as John Grimm in Doom.
In this household, we call him Doom Guy.
Call him Doom Guy.
Yeah.
Both he and Rosamund Pike in this one are fighting for their
cunt
to do their American accents in this. So the one thing that Reagan does have going for him on this is probably that he would sound a little bit more American. But I think you're right. When it comes down to it, just his mere presence would ruin it.
I just want to say that was perfect because your mic cut off and it sounded like you said, they are fighting for their on this one. Perfect. I don't care what word you said.
Unnecessary censorship. Insert whatever you want there. Oh, no. Phrasing.
Oh, hang on. Could Ronald Reagan play William Billy Butcher?
He could play Homelander.
He could play Homelander.
Well, actually, you know what? It's funny. This is a great counterargument to Reagan messing up anything that he touched.
Yeah.
Because if Reagan is Butcher and Kripke is still the showrunner, Kripke would make the show make fun of, or like the show would work in spite of Reagan.
Exactly.
Like Reagan would be Butcher. And, you know, one of the weaknesses of the adaptation of The Boys is that there's just a little bit of a rut. You know, the characters talk over and over about, all right, Butcher, you're really bad this time. You're really the worst.
Oh, I can get even worse. I'm going to get even worse, Huey.
You characters should just internalize that he's the worst and move on. But with Reagan in that role, there would be new depths to all the actors' performances. They would find new ways to dislike Butcher and Kripke, much like, you know, Chevy Chase and Community.
Right.
If they can handle Chevy Chase and Community, the guy who did Supernatural can handle the demon Reagan.
He'll be fine. That's a good point.
So
you can. Yeah.
I don't know if he'd be better than, but I don't know if he'd be better.
Yeah,
that's the tall order. But
yeah,
they make it work.
It's a really, really good point with Kripke as showrunner. I think you're absolutely right. That does change everything when you have someone who kind of is making fun of the person, whether they realize it or not, and using their character as a way to comment upon them. Yeah, I actually feel pretty good about that.
Especially because The Boys is a satire of the George Bush era anyway.
Right.
Reagan, you know, sometimes The Boys, it's like, you know, we covered a lot of this in America. Are we going back to this? With Reagan there as Butcher, it suddenly feels like, oh yeah, we did. We never left.
Yeah.
Also, we're making Reagan do a British accent, so that's going to be interesting.
Final vote.
All right. Our final question here in the voting booth today. Final vote. Who would make the best actual Emperor of Rome? Arnold Schwarzenegger, Ronald Reagan, Bernie Sanders, or Carl Urban?
Are we like trying to make sure Rome doesn't fall this time, or like as it happened, we just insert another one of these guys in here?
Oh, who's gonna lead Rome to the most success?
That's a really good question. And a difficult one, because I don't have... Rome is not my Roman Empire.
The universe just blew up, by the way. Thanks for that paradox.
I actually think Arnold Schwarzenegger matters less in Rome.
Oh, okay.
Like, I just imagine there's lots of guys like that around, and that they're the Germanic tribes. Okay. They've been fighting there's probably everybody has a war story about fighting one guy that was like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Rome.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know, but so I think that his magnetism in America, I guess he's have magnetism.
Is point. What you're saying. He's yeah. like, he's yeah. every now, man.
Maybe, not, maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger's not ever a dime a dozen, but he's a few dimes a dozen. You know, sure. The exchange rate is a little bit different. Reagan, I don't know. It's actually really interesting. Reagan in the Roman Empire has a little bit of an isekai effect. Because he knows a lot of he's just the product of American society in such a way. It's like you're bringing back a lot of American stuff in that's essential to the package with Reagan when you go back there. So maybe Reagan. I think Reagan does a pretty good job. Bernie, let's not underestimate Bernie as an emperor.
Like
you would think right away. Oh, they're gonna stab this guy. He's over it. Actually, Bernie, he's going back to the Senate. Rome is really, the Senate is a big player in Rome, and Bernie knows all that stuff. He's been doing it his whole life.
It's a good call.
He knows the history of empire in decline. This has been his number one issue for his whole life. I think that Bernie would actually, much like a great basketball player, you know, I guess for each of these people, They're the thing that makes them really special doesn't fully go away. The thing that makes them an interesting figure in time doesn't get erased. And Carl Urban is kind of the same way. And Carl Urban, I think, as an actor, people are going to be projecting things onto him more.
Yep.
But I think that's great for Rome.
True.
He can pretend to be Arnold. He can pretend to be Reagan. He can pretend to be Bernie. And I think any modern person could be smart enough to figure out when to do which one. So I actually think, having now talked it through, I think all four of these guys make okay emperor. They all are serviceable, noteworthy emperors of Rome. And I'm just going to take Carl Urban because I think that's the most fun story to tune into.
You sold me. I'm 100% with you now. Like, all of your rationale, deeply sound, and you absolutely sold me.
I'm going to pick Bernie just so I can say, listen, guys, this is how Bernie could still win.
This is how Bernie can still win. Time travel.
Yes.
That's accurate. All right. Well, We've voted our hearts out today. Corey, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey.
Where do people go if they want to find you or the wonderful podcast, Jack of All Graves, a podcast of, I don't know how to describe it, morbid curiosities? And
that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, we are Jack of All Graves. We're on all your podcast things, you know, all the places and YouTubes and all that stuff. And we are a podcast that talks about very dark things in a joyful way. So anything that could possibly scare you, whether it's, you know, exploding death lakes or supposed hauntings or things that can get into your brain and cause problems and whatnot, we will talk about those things, but in a way that looks at them with curiosity and hopefully doesn't fill you with dread at the end. So you can find us on all the things. I'm Here Lies Corey on Blue Sky if you want to hang out with me. And chat about, like, you know, my cute dog or things like that, always there. So, yeah, thanks for having me, friends. It's a delight.
Your delight.
I know.
This was another hit. Bye-bye.
Cunt, 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 cunt,
cunt,
cunt,
cunt,
cunt,
cunt,
cunt,
cunt,
cunt,
cunt.
Your cunt sense tingling, is it?
Thanks for listening.